Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God is good. Once again, he's allowed us to be able to come together to study a portion of his word. We're very thankful to those men who served with us already on this evening. We'll have a special invite to those who may be not members of the Church of Christ, but visit with us. We pray you've enjoyed the services thus far. Most importantly, we pray you will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's everlasting and eternally too late. As gospel is a beautiful story, a love story, how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whatever man, woman, boy, girl would believe in that death, burial, and resurrection story, that person could be saved before being baptized to remission their sins. And washed in the blood of the Lamb, Jesus did what will add you to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. He been seeking the truth, he with us this evening. Just receive the word of God with meekness, is able to save your soul. That's what it's all about. We won't be long this afternoon. We'll continue our study of the book of Ephesians. If you haven't been joining, if you just joined us for the first time, you can go back and listen to all the recorded messages I've done from the book of Ephesians. Last week we did one called The Followers of God. In the beginning of chapter 5, in this afternoon lesson, it's actually a continuation from last week. Followers of God would be people who live the way God wants them to live. They live to please God, as we studied on last week, and their conduct and their behavior and the things they're doing would represent, be a representation of a child of God to those who be looking on in their lives, and those who are Christians. As I said last week, you don't have to put a sign on your back saying, look at me, I'm a Christian. They'll know about the way you live, the way you talk, things you do and say, and the places you go and do. The things you participate in will tell us if you're a follower of God or not. But in this case, he moves from the life of living to the relationship and of a follower, a husband who's a follower of God, and a wife who's a follower of God. But this really culminates to become ends up explaining a mystery. This is a great mystery, and I'll talk about this as we get to the end of the lesson. But Paul, the Apostle Paul, then says something we really need to hear these days, especially as we see so many marriages falling apart, so many divorce cases, and so many people have chosen to live a life of just living together, not being married. And just I think we're wanting, it seems to me, that many in the church are wanting to say that's okay. I mean, and people, we know that's not acceptable to God. Marriage is honorable unto all, and the bed is undefiled. But who among the adulterers God will judge? So what God honors is marriage. Now, in marriage, we also understand that oftentimes we don't understand when we stand before the altar, stand before the preacher, and do the traditional vows and things. I really have come to conclusion in the many years I've been premarital counseling and counseling those who have been married, that those vows were just ritual, traditional statements made by the husband and the wife, and neither one of them had given thought to what they were really vowing, what they were saying to each other. And those traditional vows, for better or worse, in sickness or in health, so until death do us part. All that sounds real good. Sounds real good. But when things get tough, when sickness comes, when the worst list gets longer than the better list, and there seems to be a total loss of memory of that day, when you stood before those people and you said, before the people, and you said before God, you said those words, which was a vow. And the Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 1, we'll start there. Keep thy foot when you go to the house of God, and be more ready to hear and give the sacrifice of food, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with the mouth. Let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and you on earth, therefore let your words be few. When a dream cometh through the multitude of business, a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow, verse 4, unto God, defer not to pay it, for he had no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Then he says in verse number 5, better it is that you shouldest not vow, that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel, there was an error before. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of the angel? What is all this about? Well, I lead into this discussion this evening because I have been through counseling. I've been made aware, and I guess I'm 62 years now. Being a husband, knowing what that relationship is all about, there's so many people today that has no that relationship, marriage that has no true meaning, and we will do the things that we're ready to talk about today. But this mystery. He starts out talking about the husband and the wife in this mystery. So watch this wife who's a follower of God. Right? Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ, so let their wives be to their own husbands and everything. Now, let's look at these three verses first. Now, somebody said, well, I don't like hierarchy. Well, the Bible, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, he said, well, I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Now, what's this now? And the head of Christ is God. There's a hierarchy right there, as a father, son, and all that. Yeah, but he said, now, this man that's a follower of God has someone he has a head to answer to, and that is Christ. So do you really mean that? But there's a duty and responsibility and that comes with being in that role as the head, and the woman is to submit to this man as her head. Now, you ain't married to a man, you have no obligation to submit to him. This is for people who are following God and following, as followers of God. Then they go, first of all, following God, going to be married, men and women. They're not going to be shacking. And then you don't have to buy the milk if you got the cow. You don't have to do none of that. So that's that whole thought process. And that's what it seems like the world wants us to go. Everybody want to go to this, try it out first. Well, these are not followers of God. Don't do that. Well, then you want to use those blanket statements like, well, you know, we're moving in together, kind of get ourselves together, try to get our finances together. You know, we're really sleeping in different rooms. And, okay, whatever. That's what I say, whatever. Nobody's crazy. We may do it. I doubt it. But that's what you want to say. If that makes you feel better, then okay. But it doesn't look right, right? I mean, no one is going to believe that you're a member of the church and you're going in and out of the house with a single woman, a single man, and at night nothing happens. That's called a law of expediency. Maybe it's not, but people are going to talk about it. You know, they're supposed to be Christians. Look how they live. So you can't be a follower of God and leave that type of example, even though you may be doing just that. It's just the fact that it don't look right. And your good is being evil spoken of, you see. So there's a relationship there, and so this woman that's following God understands she submits. It's like a submarine goes under the water. The husband is under the care of the head, his head, which is Christ. He's subject to the laws of Christ. And then so the woman falls under the head of her husband, and that husband now is caretaker for her spiritual well-being as Christ is to that husband's spiritual well-being. So we're talking about spiritual men and women, followers of God. They are submissive women. And when this submission thing is not just mentioned here in Ephesians 5:22, it's also in 1 Peter 3:1. Paul Peter said, likewise, you wives, be a submission to your own husband. Remember, they identify that one man and that one woman. Everybody, a woman got a husband got a woman. We're not talking about two husbands, two wives. You own the one you gave your vows to. So, Brother Brooks, she didn't hear, he not here, he did that. That's still the person that you hooked up with, and you made those vows, and I dealt with the vows up front. So you're now in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. So he's saying for those women who have a husband not in the Lord's church, you married and then you became a member of the church, now you still subject your husband. The reason you live a good Christian life is because you may be able to win his soul because you're a good Christian woman. But if you act like him, it's unlikely you're going to get him to come to the church building with you. So coming back to 1 Peter in Colossians 3:18. The Apostle Paul again tell the Colossian congregation, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband, as it is fit in the Lord. Then in Titus 2, we talks about the woman. This one, the woman have a place to be discreet. She should be chaste, a follower of God, a woman. Keep her at home, good, obedient to her own husband. See that? But obedience, submission. That the word of God be not blasphemed. The Holy Spirit gave us these directions as to pertain to how a husband is supposed to love his wife. Now, I want you to hear this clearly. I want y'all to hear me on this. Because many of us, I think, got it wrong. We send our wives out to be the breadwinners and make the money and set our standards and our budgets where we're dependent on our wife to make ends meet so we can live this certain style of life. Then we want to send our children over to someone else, and they spend most of the day with someone else raising our children, or put them in front of the TV, or put them on some type of Xbox or something, and that becomes their teacher. Where the Bible is saying this woman has a role to submit to her husband. Not only that, she must be at home taking care of them children. And I think many of us all rethink that. And in my premarital counsel, I always encourage the brother to get ready to get married. Do not set your budget up where you're dependent on your wife to make the ends meet. Or to whatever your wife makes, if she want to go to work, that's okay. If she wants to work, but she should not be in a position that she got to go and get a job so y'all can have two cars and four or five bedroom homes, and the kids miss out on being what mama is, what it's like to be home with mama every day. I thank God I never put my wife in that situation. No, I do. That's not a brag. It's a decision you can make. Everybody on this call, it ain't too late. Trim down your budget and let your wife stay at home with them children. Well, what are you saying, brother? Because this is best for the home. This is best for the family. That's Titus 2:5. Well, so that submission, that lady, that wife, she needs to be discreet, she needs to be chaste, keep her home, and obedient to her husband. This is a spiritual thing we're talking about. No, but if he's telling you to do something that's ungodly, you don't obey that. That's not what we're talking about. But remember, we're talking about people who are followers of God. Wives who will follow God have no problem with the word submission. See, the husband should love his wife as Christ loved the church. That's what he said. So he says here there's a measurement that you make. Is that the duties of mutual duties are named the husband has a duty, and the wife has a duty. The husband has a duty to be the head. The wife has a duty to be submission. And it's all based on love. And the wife should submit to her, the loving husband as the Lord. The husband is the head of the family, but must be willing to give himself for it. So this submission, my sisters, for those of you who have inferiority complexes, It's not that you are inferior to the man when it comes to a follower of God. A sister who's a follower of Christ, you understand that my husband is my protector. He's my shield. He protects my soul. He protects my physical well-being at home. He takes care of me. He takes care of my children. He's the head of the home because God put him in there. Man's supposed to deal with going to work. That's what happened in the garden. The man's penalty was he had to work by the sweat of his brow, and the woman got to have babies. Men can't have babies, no matter how bad they want it, what people are saying today. That's the role of the woman. Ain't no man can fill that role. So the role is with spiritual men and women involved in a marriage, they understand submission is not a bad word. It's a great love story that this man will submit. You are under care of him, and if somebody's shooting at him and you, they trying to break in the house to kill you and them children, that man gonna go down first. That's going to be his love for his wife and his children. He will die before he let them get into his house. That's what submission means. Some have just got to let go of this worldly definition of submission as if you're nothing and understand what God is saying. You are so important to me that you're just like the church is just like your husband. I mean, your husband, Christ is the head of the church. And just like the husband is the head of the wife, there's a relationship there. It's going to be based on a tender, loving relationship. There's no bondage. There's no handcuffs. You're not bound to this like that. It's not about that. It's not about not talking about a man who will verbally, physically, mentally, or emotionally abuse his wife. That's not a man who is a follower of God. Men who are followers of God don't abuse their wives. They don't abuse them sexually, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. They don't do nothing to hurt them. Because they would not hurt their own body. Listen to what the Bible says. Husband, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself to you. That's verse 25. What woman in her right mind, I said right mind, that hadn't been influenced by this worldly stuff that we see so many women doing today, wouldn't want a husband that would not save her? You want to be the career woman, you want to be, women's rights. It's not about women's rights. It's about roles that God has given. And this only applies to people who are trying to follow God. When women are following God, they understand that man has to love you as Christ loved the church. How much does Christ love the church, sister? I'll tell you how much he loved. He died on the cross for his bride. The church is his bride. And purpose, he said, that he might sanctify, set her apart, cleanse it with the washing water by the word. And we refer to this often as baptism, but here's the thing. He said there's a cleansing, there's a sanctification setting apart what Christ did for the church. It was precious to him, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, this not have a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy without blemish. That's the way a man will view his wife. If she's set apart, she's presentable to me as something that's glorious, something that never have spots or wrinkles or such things. But she will be holy and without blemish. So Paul tells the husbands directly, love your wife, and here's how you love. Love so well that you're willing to give all things, even your life, for her welfare. Now, I'll just say that, if a man on the call today, he's that kind of a husband, you ought to reach over there and rub him on the back or kiss him on the jaw or something. That's kind of love you got. You got your good man. And brother, if you got a wife that understands that and she reciprocates that love to you, the union of the husband and wife, as described here, is ideally perfect. It's the tenderest love. It's a obedient love. We've seen the greatest love ever demonstrated was Christ. So if you got that kind of a man, you ought to tell him. If you got that kind of a husband, you got that kind of a wife, you ought to say it to her. That's how you view her. Now, however, if you want to end this relationship where the relationship has been strained, maybe it's because God is not in the picture here anymore. That might be what the problem is. See, this is people who are followers of God. When God is in the middle of a marriage, those people will follow the law of God. They follow the direction of God. They use the word of God as how to guide them in their life in their marriages. This is a presentation of a glorious church, a presentation of a glorious bride, a woman who's beautiful to her husband inside and out. You know, Peter said like this, just let y'all give you another perspective from another apostle, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. He said, like 1 Peter 3 and 1, turn over that briefly. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. They're the same as subjection, submission, sub to your own husband. And if any obey not the word, they may also be won by the conversation of the wives. So Peter's saying the same thing. Look here, just if they're not members of the Lord's church, the way you win is by being a good Christian woman. While they behold, so they're gonna behold your chaste conversation coupled with you. They're gonna pay attention to how you talk and how you treat them as a woman of God and your fear of God. He said, who is adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning, the platinum hair. Some women go before she think as long as I got all the stuff on the outside and I look real good to them, that's gonna be good enough. No. He said, the Bible says no, it's not about the makeup or the hairdo or the wig or how good you look, what color of lipstick you put on, how much jewelry you wearing, how good you look, they're wearing a gold, putting on a pair. That's not a measurement of a woman of God. That's not a measurement of someone who's beautiful on the inside. I'm not against it, but that's not what the Bible was just Peter saying here. That's not the measurement. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. It's the inside that you want to have beauty in. It's a woman who got her heart set on being pleasing to God. He says, that in that which is not corruptible, that jewelry and all that other stuff, wash it off, put up, you take it all off, hang it up on the wall, and the next day you look good again. But the heart, you can't do that. To the inside, it's going to stay like it is. It don't change. Even an ornament of meek and quiet spirit. There you go. A woman who's followers of God, she's going to have a meek and quiet spirit. And that's the internal woman, which is in the sight of God, right, great prize. That's the type of woman. God said, this is where it's going to matter, right here in the heart. What kind of person, what kind of woman did you marry inside? And I got me a beautiful wife. Is she beautiful inside? She said, well, I know I look good in my home, but do you look good to God? How do you look to God? And that determines how well, what you're thinking. Well, how you thinking? What's going on with you? You really... Okay. Peter said, after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being subjected to their own husband. Keep saying the same thing. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, called him Lord. Now, women today think that's a big deal. Well, you know, we don't do that in our culture, but that was disrespect. That was reverence. It was respect for her husband, calling him Lord. There are some women today, ain't no way they call a man Lord, and you sit over there laughing now because you know that's you. That's your ain't. I ain't calling him Lord. Girl, you see Lord as something demeaning. Sarah didn't see it as demeaning. She understood her role as a wife. And to her Lord, the same thing said a woman, a man who you marry, he want to be respected. Men like to be admired. Well, he said, what's wrong with that? And the Bible said, you both admire. That's what he said. Yeah, I'm going to show you that in your body. Irreverence. You got to respect. He gets respect as a man who sweats, who works, who takes care of how, who protects his wife, who protects his children. It gains respect. And I know some women out there now, they think they mean. They'll never be a man. You can dress with man clothes on. You can cut your hair like a man and everything, but you ain't got the body of a man. You ain't got the muscle of a man. You have to take a whole lot of altering medication to try to have what the man was born with. It just doesn't work that way. Yeah, I know it. But that's not a woman. That's not a man. That's a woman. They want to be a man. That's what that is. Call it like it is, brother. I am. They do it just like that. He said, likewise, you husband dwell with them according to now. Now, he come back and told the woman. Now, Peter come back just like Paul. He tell the husband, got to roll now. Here's what he tell the husband. Do dwell them according to knowledge. You ought to know your wife. Y'all know what makes her happy. Don't make her dumb. Don't make her happy. Y'all know what she likes. Y'all know what she don't like. Y'all know when to set up and when to talk. You ought to know how to do. You ought to dwell with them according to knowledge. Somebody said, man, you ought to just don't worry about your wife. Said, man, I know. You don't tell me what to do because I know about my wife and I know what my wife likes and what she won't like. I used to tell people all the time, my wife didn't have no problem with me opening the door. Now, you might have a wife. She wants you to open the door every time. You pull up at church, they open the door for her, let her out. And that's what you take. You better dwell according to knowledge. Get out your car and go and open the door. Do what you got to do. Now, my wife, I never let a car go empty. I knew she loved gas in the car. And I probably, if she's living right now, I told her to leave the car home. The gas got high. Yeah, don't drive so much. No, I'm just kidding. But here's the thing. You got to know them apart. I know it's a small thing, but when it comes to your life, your relationship, or what's going on in the house, or what your wife needs at home, how she needs to be taken care of, and all those things, he said, you do that. You know her, and then you honor. Listen, sister. Then Peter said, honor unto your wife. Give honor. You know, he said, well, no man going to tell me anything. Well, then God told him, to get the honor, you want honor, but you don't want to give no honor. You don't want to give no respect. And he said, how do you honor your wife, Peter? He said, as a weaker vessel. She's weaker than me. She's not designed like me. She ain't gonna live, she ain't gonna have muscles like me. And she's more emotionally fragile than I'm gonna be. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, some men won't act like they're female. You're not a woman. You're not a woman. You're not a weaker vessel. As being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now, he said, you do this. Wife, you do this. You submit your husband. You know your wife. You honor her. And she's the weaker vessel. You protect her. Now, both of you, at the end of the day, you're both trying to get to heaven. Heirs together, the grace of life. God would bless that marriage if you both stay in your lane. Now, here's what he did. He closed that verse saying that your prayers be not hindered. What are you saying? Man, if you don't treat your wife right and you don't do something, God will hold you accountable. He said, that prayer ain't going nowhere because of the way you treat your wife. I know you want me to get on back over here in Ephesians, don't you? You don't like that, huh? Yeah. Let's go back over there. I'll leave that one alone. Go back over to verse 28, Ephesians 5, verse 28. I'm about finished, brothers and sisters. Now, verse 28, so all men to love their wives as their own husbands. I'm back in Ephesians. His own body, excuse me. He said, loving his wife, loving himself. And you know, God would never give myself a black eye. That's men, you know, men who love their wives and they're followers of God, as we talked about, men or Christian men, they will never do nothing to bruise or hurt that woman in any kind of way, form, or fashion. Just, you won't hurt yourself, and you ain't going to hurt her. If you wouldn't do it to yourself, then you won't do it to your wife. That's what the Bible teaches. I don't know a man living to punch his own self in the eye and gave himself a black eye because he's mad about something. You don't do that. So no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished the church, as sure to do, even as the Lord of the church. Now, he's a comparison. The church, God, Christ did nothing to hurt the church. And then he said, we are, talking about the apostles, said, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Just deal with those three verses here. The men ought to love the wife, the church is the bride. He loved his body, which is the church. And then he says, for we are members of his body, his flesh, of his bones. In Genesis 2, in the first Adam, when he had his first wife, this Adam and Eve, he said, this is now bone of my bone, the flesh of my flesh. That's where they came from. And she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of a man. Yeah, where it comes from right there. We are members of his body. And you treat your wife as a member of your body. You wouldn't hurt your body. He said, for this cause, verse 31 to 33, I'll close with this one. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and join unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And that's something everybody needs to learn right there. See, sometimes we get married and go up all the court because the man never left mama and daddy. You know, you can't be a man and get married and your mama or daddy running your household. You gotta leave. Well, I always think to America, I never tell a man to get married if he ain't got nowhere to take his wife. Well, I'm gonna take her back home and we're gonna stay with mama for a while. No, you don't. No, that's not good. That's not good advice. You're gone and don't get married till you got a house, a place to take her. Because you take her back to father, mother, Jesus said, for this call, he said, shall a man leave father and mother and join to his wife, it shall be one flesh. We'll get a lot of problems. You get everybody else going to get into your life. And then some, maybe I'll talk to some of the mother-in-laws on the call. Oh, they interfere with your daughter's wife, marriage. Get up out of them people business. Yeah. And he said, this is a great mystery. That's why I got my title right there. Paul said, now, I always talk about husband and wife. And I know, and this applies. But he said, really what I'm trying to get y'all to see is this. I speak. Everything I just said was by Christ and his church. So Paul said, the church of Christ was so special. The church of Christ became the wife of Christ because by the death of her husband. And her husband died to save his bride. The bride of Christ is the church of Christ. That was the relationship he just described. How Christ treated his wife. He said, man, if you follow your head, the head of man is Christ, then you'll do the same thing Christ did for his bride. You, the husband, will do the same thing for your bride. So it's a great mystery. You might not understand what I'm talking about, Paul said. What I'm talking about is Christ and his wife, the church. But in verse 33, he said, nevertheless, even though that's really what I was trying to get y'all to see, what I said applies to husband and wives who are followers of God. He said, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular that is listening to me this evening, I was reading at the time Paul wrote this. He said, everyone in particular, that every husband love his wife. Let me just close. Every husband who's a Christian should love his wife even as himself. As for the husband. He goes to the wife. And the wife, she see that she reverence, that's respect, admire her husband. That man going to work hard and taking care of you, he now have to come home and don't have a respectful wife to come home to with a good hot meal and someone that'll love him and respect him, and he's going to honor you in return as a weaker vessel, fragile, that I must protect. Somebody could hurt my baby. And I'm not going to let them hurt my wife. And she can return the affection of love. I can love and respect my man. So that Paul said, well, even though I was talking about the mystery, nevertheless, here's what you should do as a man and woman of God. So this mystery all unfolded. In chapter 3, as I close, Paul said the mystery unfolds with the mystery of the gospel. In chapter 3, verse 1, for this called I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you heard of dispensation of the grace of God, which gives the means of the word, how that by revelation you made known unto the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, what's this? Which in other ages was not made known as sons of men, is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So he's revealing this mystery. Here it is. that the Gentiles, non-Jewish people, should be fellow heirs and of the same body. That body means church. Ephesians 4:4, there's one body. Ephesians 1:22 tell us there's that body is the church. Colossians 1:18 tell us the body is the church. So here's the mystery unlocked. The mystery is that when the gospel will be preached, men and women will obey this gospel, be baptized, then the Lord will add them to the one church. And when they're done, add them to the one church, which is the body. The mystery is they will be partakers of the promises of Christ by this gospel, this good news, the story of teaching. And when they added to the church, then what they add, really, Christ is became their husband. You've been espoused. You are now the wife of Christ. The church is the wife of Christ. And then in chapter 5, he showed the relationship of how Christ, what type of husband he was to his wife, and what type of people we as a church should be to him as his bride. I mean, we will be in subjection to him as our head. The whole church became the bride of Christ. He died for us, and we're in subjection to him and under his leadership. We're under his guidance and under his spiritual protection as the leader of our lives. If you're on the call today and you're not a Christian, you're not a part of the bride. You need to be. The mystery is that the church will become one church, and the mystery is that the church will become the bride of Christ. And it's saved in the one church, Acts 2:47. Praising God and have faith with all the people, Lord, add to the church day that simply should be saved. If you're on the call today and you didn't know this was a mystery, you learned it today. If you're on the call today and you want to become a Christian, believe that Jesus Christ hung, bled, and died to suffer on the cross of Christ. The good love story I've been talking about. How he so loved the church that he gave his only begotten son. He so loved you, God did. And his son gave his life. The Bible says, greater man than no, look, greater love had no man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Jesus hung on that cross 6 long hours and suffered on the cross. It was at the cross where we first saw the light. It was there he suffered, shed blood. And without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission of sins. And then they took him down off that cross after being brutally beaten, battered, and bloody. Took him down and buried him in a borrowed tomb. And he resurrected Sunday morning early with all power in his hands. He gave the command for us to go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And that's what we're doing today. We offer you the opportunity to hear this gospel. That he did die with Mary Rose again. Believe that with all of your heart. Acts 15:7. You got to hear the word of the gospel and believe. Number 3, you got to repent of your sin. Luke 13:3-5. Number 4, you got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God before men. Matthew 10:32-33. And then after that, you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Or as commanded by Jesus, Mark 16:15-16. Baptism does also now save us, according to Peter, 1 Peter 3:21. Then the Lord, in Acts 2:47, will add you to his wife, his bride. You became a part of the body. And we're members in particular. And then the Lord adds you to the church. You now involved. What has been revealed is no longer a mystery, that you're a member of the Lord's church, and the Lord's church is the wife of Christ, the bride of Christ, what John saw in the Revelations. And behold, the Lamb's wife, she came down from heaven. If you want to go to heaven, you see, then you're a part of the church of Christ. You're not a part. I just told you how to become a member of the church of Christ. Or if you want to call this scene, you're a member of the Lord's church, you want prayer. No matter what you need, let it hit 5-star on your phone. We'll pray for you. You want to make confession. You just want to be a better person. You got to try to get your life together. Try to get yourself together. Go ahead and hit 5-star on your phone and tell us what you desire to tell us. And we'll do everything we can to help you spiritually. Spiritually. So if you're on the call today, we'll get ready to sing a song of encouragement. We hope you enjoy the lesson this afternoon. We have our song leader to come at this time. Hit 5-star on your phone. You have a need that we can help you with. Thank you.